Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is time for the John Chuckery Show. Late night with you here on a Wednesday evening. Hanging out with you till 2 a.m. We are asking you to download the Odyssey.com app. We know you're not in the car as much as what you used to be, but you want to listen to the station and the show. How do I do it? Simple. Best way is the Odyssey.com app. Put that on your device today, right? Smartphone, Alexa speakers, your tablet, your LaserDisc, Walkman, Commodore 64, Nikon camera, whatever your device is, just download onto something to be able to catch us when you're on the go. Social media, find us at 929TheGame. It's always the best way to be a part of the show. It's through our personal Twitter handles. You can hit me up at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That, of course, your water cooler talking points, 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. On the other side of the glass producing the show, Jarvis in the building at JarvisD90. Well, Hawks tonight with a huge win. You just heard the call right here on your home of the Hawks, 92.9. The game with Steve Holman and Mike Conney as Hawks roll the Phoenix Suns 135-103, now up to 37-20 on the air, about 21-11 at home. Now, we've talked all year long about the fact that there are things that favor the Hawks from a schedule standpoint. Tonight was one of them. Let's be honest. I'm not saying it's the reason the Hawks won, but look, we've talked about it. You had Phoenix tonight coming in, last game of their East Coast road trip. We talked about this the other night. We've been talking about it for a week now, that, hey, this is very much a winnable game. When you get these West Coast teams coming into your building, always a good chance for a victory. Suns tonight come in. It's the last night of their East Coast road trip because they're home Friday against the Knicks. So let's hope they bounce back and take care of the Knicks on Friday. Hawks catch them at a great time. Hawks get up on them in that third quarter, and that's all she wrote. And it just rolls from there. And once you get – I hate to say it this way, and let me tell you why I know this. Because I spent a lot of time sitting about 4.5 feet away from a guy that not only played for a bunch in the NBA, but was an NBA Coach of the Year. And we would talk, especially off air, about a lot of these kinds of things. You get a team like Phoenix, say what you will, at this point of the regular season, on the East Coast, ready to get back home, and you start to get them down a little bit, you put your foot on your neck and you break it. And that's what the Hawks did tonight. So Trae Young with 16 points, 12 boards, 18 and 10 for Capella. I'm just going to leave this here for we report, you decide. John Collins played 23 minutes and took four shots tonight, 9 points and four boards. I'll let y'all figure what you want to. Gallinari, 16 points and five boards in 24 minutes. Kevin Huerter with 25 minutes tonight. He had 13 points in the game. So he had seven Hawks that were in double digits tonight. Even Okongwu, with that's got to be the game of his career, right? 14 points and seven boards tonight. He played 18 minutes, 6 of 7 from the field, hit both of his free throws. It's a good night when you know you're having a good night when Okongwu is a plus 33 in the plus minus. Plus 33 tonight for Okongwu. I'd say it's pretty good. Because the Hawks in the fourth quarter, 38-15, they outscore the Suns. So Hawks now improved to 37-30 on the year. The Knicks are going to lose tonight. That'll only put them a half game out of fourth. Why do we say that? Because, look, and our buddy Jahi was asking tonight, Jarvis, about who would you like to see in the first round. I don't even care. Two things. One is I don't care who the Hawks see in the first round. Number two is let me just be the four seed. If I can get to the four seed, I don't care who comes in at that point. I'll gladly take my chances being the four seed at home against anybody. You want the Knicks? You want Celtics? I don't care what you tell me the matchup problems are or are not in those series. Let me be the four seed and bring somebody in here. By the way, this was the final regular season game for the Hawks in their MLK jerseys. 9-1 on the year in the MLK jerseys. I'd say that worked out. I'd say that worked out. The Unity Knights and the MLK. Would they wear those for the playoffs? Would they be allowed to wear that at all for the playoffs?
I believe so. I mean, as long as it's the dark home jerseys when they're at home, I mean, I don't think I have any issue with it.
I wonder if the league, though, would allow them to wear those during the playoffs. I mean, they're 9-1 in those jerseys, right? Can we wear those in the playoffs?
Run them out there, man. Yeah. Let's go.
I mean, can we – I don't – do we need to get a hold of Adam Silver and find out? Jarvis, get on the phone. Get a hold of Adam Silver.
All I got to do is just reach out, right?
Yeah, just give him a quick biz buzz. As Bo Bach would say, give him a quick biz buzz and see what he's got going on out there. But let's see if we can get the Unity jerseys, the MLK Unity Night jerseys, you know, for the Hawks in the playoffs. 9-1 on the season. So Hawks row the Phoenix Suns. Again, we've talked about how so many points in the season, how the schedule's really set up for success for the Atlanta Hawks. And I'm going to go back and say that I think the fact that the Hawks really did such a good job of just kind of holding serve during that stretch when Trey was out and Collins was kind of getting back into the mix when they beat Miami and Milwaukee. Yeah, they lost to Detroit and lost to Philly, but beating Miami, beating Milwaukee, those were big games to find a way to win, and now you set yourself up for so much success. You and by and large, you don't have Hunter, you don't have Reddish. That's it at this point, right? That's the only two guys that you're missing. Well, Reddish ain't coming back. So you know you're not getting him back for the rest of the year. The question just becomes, will DeAndre Hunter be back at all this year? I don't know. You got five games left, Jarvis. We're down to five. Countdown is five. What kind of stinks is we don't get a weekend game. So we don't get a freebie. We don't get a freebie over the weekend. So Hawks with five games left. So they'll be in Indiana tomorrow night for what is their final road game of the year. And look, Indiana's playing tonight. There's been some issues in that game tonight with Indiana. You know, obviously they've had their struggles. You know, remember at one time they were the four seed early in the season. Now they sit at the nine seed, five games below 500. And we talked about this. They're 11-20 at home. They're actually four games above 500 on the road, but they're 11-20 at home. So again, we talk about how the schedule sets itself up. Well, now the Hawks, yeah, it's a back-to-back, but you're going in against a team that, number one, is not very good, and number two, is a team that has not played well at home all year long. This has not been a very good home team at all. It's been a good road team, but they've not been good at all at home. So everything just keeps kind of setting itself up for the Atlanta Hawks. And remember a few weekends ago, I think it was on a Saturday, because I don't think Jarvis was with us on the show that I did talking about Nate McMillan. Remember a few weeks ago when I said, tell me how Nate McMillan is not going to be a top three coach of the year candidate? Tell me how he's not going to be a top three coach of the year candidate. Well, yeah, I think you're seeing it, right now. Now, I still think Monty Williams is going to be the head the coach of the year, who, by the way, is the Suns head coach. I think Monty Williams, I think they deserve it. I think you look at this, you look at the transformation the last couple of years, the season that they're having. They've been the best team in the West this year. Some people have Chris Paul in the MVP discussion. You know, I think it should be Embiid. But I'm fine. What do I care? I could care less about whether or not Chris Paul or Joel Embiid or you want to make Okongwu the MVP of the league. I don't give a crap. I mean, whatever you want to do as far as that goes. But I still think Monty Williams is the coach of the year in the NBA. But there's no reason why Nate McMillan shouldn't be a top three coach of the year in the league this year. No reason why he should. If he finishes anything below third, then I want to know who's voting in that thing. If it's the media, then they all should be fired and banned from the NBA forever. If it's other coaches, then we know not to take the award serious anymore. Because you can't argue with the turnaround that this franchise has had since Nate McMillan has been here. And he'll be the coach moving forward. It'll be after the season when they make that announcement. I don't think that they'll make that announcement during the season. I think after the season, you'll see that Nate McMillan will be announced that he's the coach. And what do you think he gets? A three-year deal? Something like that? You know, he'll probably get like 3 years. No real pressure to do anything in the playoffs this year. Yeah, I think if they get the home court advantage in the 4 seed, yeah, I think they can do some damage. I still think they can do damage at the 5 seed too, but there's not like pressure that, oh, this team has to win in the playoffs. I think everything the Hawks do from here has been kind of gravy. You want to take advantage of it, I understand that, but I still don't think the Hawks in a 7-game series are better than Milwaukee, Philadelphia, or Brooklyn. Anything can happen. I understand that. I just don't think that they're a better team then. First round, think they're better than anybody they play. Next round gets very interesting. So, big win for the Hawks tonight. Back in action on the road tomorrow in Indiana for the final road game of the season. Braves tonight, they get it done as well. Another victory against the Washington Nationals, 5-3. It's been Grand Slam Palooza of late. But we're going to talk a little bit about the Braves' offense when we come back. Marcell Ozuna led the way. He had 2 hits, hit the grand slam tonight. Contreras homers as well. So they win 5-3. Will Smith gets the save. Most importantly, though, Max Fried was back tonight, threw 72 pitches. He did pitch 5 innings, only gave up 1 earned run, 6 strikeouts. That was a home run, by the way. Yan Gomes was the only, hit the home run. Hit the solo home run against him, and that was it. 5 innings, 4 hits, 1 earned run, 6 strikeouts, the 1 walk, the 1 home run. Joke, if you will, his ERA went from – his ERA dropped by 3 runs tonight. Went from 11.5 to 8.5, 8.44 specifically, but you understand what I'm saying. His ERA in 1 outing dropped by 3 runs. So, look, great to have Max Fried back. It's time for him to become, time for him to become our ace again. Time to quit screwing around. Braves up to 14-16 now. Okay, let's take care of the Nationals tomorrow. Before they come home to Philadelphia. By the way, don't forget, with the Mother's Day series, as they look to sweep the Nationals tomorrow, don't forget that series this weekend, Mother's Day weekend with Philadelphia here, is the start of 100% capacity for the Atlanta Braves. So Braves start 100% capacity now because they've got Philadelphia in town for 3. Then the Marlins come in for 4. So we keep talking about trying to get a hot streak together. Seems like as soon as the Braves win 3 or 4 games in a row, here comes 3 or 4 losses in a row. Well, now you've got a chance. You've got a chance to sweep the Nationals. Then you get a mediocre Phillies team that's coming in. You get a bad Marlins team that's coming in. So you got, and then by the way, the Blue Jays come in next week. I'm looking at April instead of May. Apologize. Philadelphia this weekend, then the Blue Jays that come in, and yes, they swept you, but again, that's still a team that you should be better than. So it's a chance to rattle off some games in a row. They'll take on Philadelphia over the weekend, a day off Monday, three with the Blue Jays. Then it gets interesting because then you're talking about, you know, they go, what, to Milwaukee from there, who's been real good. And then you get back into divisional action, right? The Mets, you get the Mets and Pirates coming in after that. DeGrom may be back this weekend. There's talk about maybe he'll be back, what, Sunday? Back on the mound. But, you know, good win for the Braves again tonight. They get it done behind Max Fried. Good to make his return, a big start for him. Now they just need to get him rolling. Need to get him rolling, get him going. Noah's been terrific this year, obviously. Ian Anderson, up until that previous start Sunday, had been real good. Now you get Fried back. See what happens. You know, hopefully in a month or so, Soroka's back, and we start to get this rotation kind of back in form where we thought it was going to be. All right, though, I have a question about the Braves offense. Are they a little bit too reliant on the home run? I'm going to give you some numbers. We report, you decide. Chuck, we're hanging out at the Kia Studios late night on a Wednesday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm back with you on the John Chuckery Show, hanging out late night here on this Wednesday evening. Going to be with you till 2 a.m. 404-741-0929, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, open and ready for BizNaz if you want to make a comment and leave one there. Odyssey.com app, so you catch us on the go. Social media, 929 The Game, at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. Good night for the locals. Braves win. Hawks win. Good night all around. I think the Stripers won. I think the Stripers won, and I think Mississippi won as they're all starting up their season. So I think it was good night all the way around for the locals. I did not check to see if, you know, the women's softball teams at Tech and Georgia won, or if any Georgia Tech baseball or Georgia baseball won tonight. But anyway, at least the professional locals had a good night tonight. Now, the Braves tonight, and maybe I'm just picking nits, but I'm trying to figure out why the Braves have been in the position that they've been in this year, where, you know, 30 games in, they're only 14-16. Their hitting, you know, has been at times incredible, at times, their pitching, starting pitching has been dreadful at a lot of time. But I'll ask this question. Are the Braves too reliant on the home run? You know, tonight the Braves scored another five runs. All five of them came from home runs. Ozuna hit a grand slam in the game tonight. Contreras hit a solo home run, and that's the five runs. Now, just some numbers, just running some numbers for the Braves thus far this year. This is going into tonight. So this does not count tonight's game. This is only going into tonight. So without tonight, the Braves came into tonight hitting the second most home runs in Major League Baseball, which is always a good thing in an era of baseball when, you know, you're looking at home runs, strikeout kinds of guys. Obviously, if you can be right there at the top, and obviously the Braves have plenty of bashers. We've talked about, you know, you get their what should be their traditional four at the top of the lineup with Ronnie, Ozzie, Freddie, and Ozuna. That's a lot of home runs. That's a 40 home run hitter at the top, a 20-25 home run hitter in the two hole, a 30-40 home run hitter in the three hole, and a, you know, potential 30 home run hitter in the four hole. So yeah, your top four are in that lineup as a potential to hit lots of home runs. The Braves also have the sixth highest on base percentage. So we've talked a lot about guys like Austin Riley, and the fact that they're not swinging at, they're more disciplined, not swinging at so many bad pitches. You look at Riley's on-base percentage. We've talked about Ronnie between last year and this year, the fact that, yeah, those guys still strike out a fair amount, but they draw more walks. Freddie, of course, you know, Freddie's going to be one of the top walk guys. And part of why they, what, I think they didn't know Ozuna, I didn't get to see the play, but in Ozuna's grand slam tonight, they intentionally walked Freddie to load the bases, right, for Marcell Ozuna. So, you know, we know Freddie's proclivity to walk, which, you know, it sometimes it's a good thing, sometimes it's a bad thing. Sometimes, you know, again, what does it tell you if you're walking the bases loaded to get to Marcell Ozuna? What does that tell you? That's normally not something you'd want to do, but you're not going to let Freddie Freeman beat you. So the Braves are sixth in on-base percentage this year. The Braves have also hit into the 12th most double plays in Major League Baseball. They've also left the 11th most guys on base. They're above league average, obviously, in both of those categories. And also interesting, the fact that, you know, the Braves haven't won an extra inning game this year. They're 0-4 in extra inning games this year, which you say, oh, well, that's, you know, that's no big deal. Yeah, but that's more than 10% of their games that have gone to extra innings. And I'm with you 1,000% about the idea of how gimmicked extra inning baseball is in baseball. But when you have a guy with no outs and a man on second, you're supposed to manufacture that guy home. Now, also, too, and I've talked about this all the time, the Braves have the second fewest stolen bases in Major League Baseball with 6. They only have 6 stolen bases on the year. That's the second lowest number in all of Major League Baseball. And it's not like this team doesn't have tons of speed. The guy, you know, Ronnie's got tons of speed. Ozzie's got speed. I've told you before about Ozuna. Even Jarvis is coming around about Ozuna when I talked about, you know, last year about, hey, when he gets it going, he can motor. He ain't outrunning somebody, but he's also not a three-legged mule when he gets going on the bases. He gets around and he scores. Dansby can run. You know, Pache can run. So they have plenty of guys who can get around the bases. So it's not a matter of they don't have speed, team speed. They don't have the – Ronnie's a guy who could steal 40 bases. Albies, if he really wanted to, could be a 20 stolen base guy. Dansby could be a 15 stolen base guy. Hell, I think we've seen Freddie steal 10 bases in a year before. So it's not a matter of they don't have the ability to do it. But when we start talking about what are some of the things that have slowed the Braves down this year, or what are some things that could slow the Braves down when they get in the playoffs, remember, when the Braves had their 3-1 lead against the Dodgers in the playoffs, for as good as their offense was all year, right, the most dominant offense, they had 4 of the 9 Silver Slugger winners in their lineup. 4 of 9 were on the Braves. But what happened the last 3 games? They only scored 7 runs in 3 games and ultimately lose 3 times to the Dodgers. Now, just to give you a little bit of perspective about where the Braves are, Freddie Freeman has 11 of his 18 RBIs via the home run. That's 61.1%. Ronnie has 14 of 21. That's 67%. Albies has 7 of 14. That's 50%. All 4 of Pache's RBIs have come via the home run with the grand slam. That's 100%. Ozuna has 5 of his 15 RBI via the home run. That's a good percentage, 33%. So that means he's driving in a lot of runs other ways. With the grand slam tonight, it's funny, that number goes up to 47.4%. So he's closing in on half his RBIs come via the home run. Dansby has 2 of 7. That's 28.6%. Austin Riley has 5 of his 7 RBI that come through the home run. 71.4% of his RBI come from the home run. And look, this is not a matter of I want the Braves to hit less home runs or whatever, but when you're one of the top half, above top half teams in Major League Baseball at leaving guys on base, but you're also one of the best on-base percentage teams in baseball, so you're top-tier on-base percentage, but you're top half in leaving guys on and hitting into double plays, that's where you get into trouble offensively if you can't create enough chances. And we see that because they're 0-4 in extra inning games. 0-4 this year in extra inning games. And while you can be frustrated about the gimmick nature of baseball and its extra innings, which I'm with you, but those are games you have to find a way to win as well. And for a team that is sitting at 14-16, you know, a couple of games here or there swing your record around pretty quickly at this time of the year. And as I said, you know, 4 out of 30, I'm not a math major, but that's more than 10% of your games that have been extra inning games. What if you'd have won all 4 of those games? Well, your record would look a lot different right now, wouldn't it? If you had 4 more wins, you'd be 18-12 right now. And we'd be like, okay, this is the Braves team that we expected to see out there, right? So it does make a difference when you start talking about little things, you know, like that. And I would love to see the Braves manufacture more runs. see them create more chaos, if you will, on the base paths. You know, and at times they do some of that, and you see, you know, we saw a lot of that last year. Remember how often last year? And by the way, just to put it in perspective, we said Freddie Freeman 61.1% of his RBI through home run. Last year it was 48.8%. The year before, when he had, you know, in 2019 when he had the monster year, last year was 54.7% in the pandemic shortened year. His big year from a couple of years ago in 2019, 48.8% came through the home run. So just to give you an idea, even Ronnie, when he had the 101 RBI a couple of years ago, 58.4% came through the home run. So the percentage has gone up, basically, is what I'm telling you, for Braves hitters as far as how often that they're you know, getting scoring runs through the home run. Now, you know, at least another thing that's positive in the Braves column, they're sixth in Major League Baseball in sacrifice flies. So when they get a guy at third base with less than two outs, they do find a way to bring that guy home a decent amount of time. I mean, they've hit nine sacrifice flies, which is only three behind the leaders in Houston thus far, but puts them sixth overall, tied for sixth overall in that category. But it's just one of those things that when we talk about the Braves lineup, and I'll continue to say this, I just don't think they take enough advantage of their speed. I don't think that they use their speed as effectively. And sometimes it feels like, you know, sometimes it feels like they're waiting around for a home run. Sometimes it feels like that's really what they're living off of, is that, you know, if they don't get that big fly, they just don't find ways to produce enough runs, right? Last night, tonight was five runs on on the night, all of them coming from home runs. Last night in the game, what was it? Five of their six were home off of home runs. Yeah, so five of the six runs last night, because you had the grand slam from Manoah, and Ronnie hit a home run in the game. So five of six runs last night, five runs tonight, all through the home run. Which again, I'm glad that they're hitting home runs, but you talk about over the course of a 162-game season, you know, we've seen the Braves' offense get stagnant at times. We've seen the Braves' offense not be able to produce enough runs. And when you start getting into talking about playoff baseball and start trying to figure out, okay, how do we become a World Series champion? What are the little things that we do to be a World Series champion? Well, you know, you got to be able to produce runs in creative ways in the playoffs, because as we always talk about, every at bat, every guy on base in baseball just gets magnified. I mean, go back in your Rolodex of that Dodgers series. Just think about guys on base, and just you're on the edge of your seat, it feels like, every time somebody's on one of the bases and you're waiting to see, can the Braves bring them home, or, you know, are they going to be able to keep the Dodgers at bay, or whatever the situation is. You start getting guys on base in playoff baseball, it just changes the complex of the game, because everything tightens up and everything gets so difficult. You know, like how we talk about things tightening up in the NBA or NFL and things like that come playoff time? Baseball's every bit of that same way. That's why when you have pitchers who can get lots of outs with no contact, that's a huge thing to have. That's why I always liked having, you know, if I had my druthers of, you know, John Smoltz or Greg Maddux in the playoffs, I want John Smoltz. Now, who's the better regular season pitcher? Greg Maddux. Well, due respect to John Smoltz, but Greg Maddux was the better regular season pitcher. But I got one game to win. Who do I want on the mound in a playoff scenario where everything gets magnified? Give me the guy who gets lots of outs with no contact. And the Braves, you know, certainly their bullpen has gotten better at that. Their starting rotation, you know, when they're on, can do some of that. But more importantly is you got to be able, when you get guys on base, to find a way to get them around, in the score. Finding ways to be able to pick up more runs without having to wait on a grand slam or a three-run homer and sit back and kind of wait for all of that. All right, when we get back, it's time for What's Bugging Chuckery. I mean, the NFL does kind of have a point, even if people don't like it. So about that next. Chuck Reed hanging out in the Kia Studios. Late night Wednesday, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back with you on the John Chuck Reed Show. Late night Wednesday. By the way, 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Bowes number text line. Odyssey.com app at 929 The Game at JMCH at Jarvis D90. It's Cinco de Mayo for, what, 13 more minutes? Now, Hugh Douglas had tweeted out last week about what are y'all doing for Cinco de Mayo. And before I even looked at the schedule or anything, I just said, oh, well, my first guess would be we're probably working until 2 a.m. Sometimes, you know, when you're right, you're right. Anyway, Hawks with five more games left.
Did they deliver alcohol? Didn't they pass that?
There are cities. I think Roswell, where I live, did pass an ordinance that says you can start delivering alcohol. They were doing that during the pandemic, right?
I believe so.
We may need something over here, but I can tell you how I spent my Cinco de Mayo. Slept till like 5 o'clock. Got up 8. And came down here.
No tequila, man? You didn't bring it in right? Cinco de Mayo, right?
No, I probably would have been more likely to eat a worm than drink the tequila. But anyway, so Hawks win tonight, only 5 more games. Braves win tonight as well. So we'll get to West Buck and Chucker here in just a couple of minutes. But we won't be with you tomorrow night. Back with you for a regular full show, 7 to 11 on Friday. Then I'll be back with you from noon to 3 coming up on Saturday. So no Hawks basketball over the weekend. We do have Atlanta United coming up on Sunday. Braves, of course, home. It is Mother's Day weekend, so, you know, if you just don't remember all of that, make sure you go get your mom something or, you know, call your mom or get your ex-wife something if you got kids or whatever like that. So I always do that. I mean, I'm one of those people, Jarvis, that even I take my daughter and we'll go get something for her for Mother's Day. I mean, you got to be at least, you know, no matter what your relationship is with your ex-wife, if you got kids involved in it, you know, help them to do something. You know what I mean? Like take them, get a card, get some flowers or whatever it is. Just do some nice kind of gesture through your daughter. It doesn't have to be from you, but do it through, like, you know, I do it through my daughter. We'll take her, go pick out a card. You know, this year it'll be a little bit more low-key or whatever, but just do something. But it is Mother's Day weekend, and the Braves will have 100% attendance coming up at Truist Park. And then, you know, when we get, it will be, what, the 15th, I think? Let me see. Yeah, the 15th. So Saturday the 15th will be Atlanta United's first full match where they'll have full attendance for the 42,500 when they take on Montreal on that Saturday. So, a couple of the franchise and the Falcons will be full bore, and we'll talk the Falcons flyover coming up at the top of the hour. But, everybody kind of getting back a little bit crowd-wise, back to normal, and things starting to open up. I saw a couple of people tweeting, our boy Dan Wolken, talking about that if the SEC wants to open up stadiums 100%, they should require everybody to be vaccinated and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, okay, good luck with all that. Good luck with so what happens when your big boosters and donors and stuff like that say they don't want to be vaccinated? You going to tell them not to show up at the stadium? Okay, good luck. Tell me, I want you to have that conversation with your top money guys to tell them how all that will go. But anyway, that's part of the get woke culture for all of it. And that's not just a show on ESPN in the mornings. Anyway, speaking of all of that, let's get to something we call What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So, in a story of be careful what you wish for, right? We talked about the fact that as NFL teams have said, well, because of COVID or this, that, and the other, that, you know, we don't want to do, you know, workouts at facilities or OTAs or things like that. And Jarvis and I talked about the idea of this is going to be the way the NFL is going to move forward, is that by and large, once you get the regular season done, you'll have a rookie mini camp and then see you, you know, come training camp time. And that'll be it. That'll be the next wave. Is 17th, and I understand, look, 17th regular season game, all this, that, and the other. Okay, the trade-off is you know what? We don't want to have to make multiple trips a year in the spring and summertime to the facility to come lift weights. We can do all that on our own. Well, insert Juwan James into the mix, who tore an Achilles earlier this week in doing workouts on his own in an off-site, meaning he's probably going to miss, you know, the whole season. Well, the reality is, in NFL contracts, that's considered a non-football injury. Yeah, he was working out to keep himself in shape, but by doing it off-site and off-campus or whatever you want to say, it's not considered an NFL injury. Thus, the Broncos are not responsible for paying $10 million to him, which would have been that guaranteed money that he would have had for this season. Now, if he had gotten hurt at the Broncos facility, the $10 million would have been his. As is, the Broncos, and it's in the NFL agreement, don't owe him anything. Well, that outraged people and got everybody angry. How can the Broncos not do this? And he's training for football. Wait a second. Hold up. You can't have it both ways, guys. You know, I'm all for the idea of let's not show up to training camp, but there has to be some assumed responsibility on the players' parts if something unfortunately happens. Does it suck for James? Yeah, it sucks. And yeah, he was training and working out and probably, you know, for staying in football shape, but it can't be all on one side. There's an old saying that I learned long ago that one of my old mentors taught me. A relationship that is good for one and bad for the other is bad for both. And it can't be all one-sided. Trust me, I understand. The NFL and teams and all that, they get away with what they get away with. And that's why I've said I'm not in favor of the 17th game and things like that. So if you're going to do that, okay, you got to make more concessions to the players. More money, more time off, this, that, and the other, whatever it is, okay? They've already negotiated with less practices, right? And we're not doing two-a-days or whatever. Okay, but there has to be risk-reward for both sides. And this is one of those situations where I understand it sucks. You hate to see it, but that's part of the deal. If teams don't want to have, you know, if players, you know, on teams don't want to be responsible for going to the facility and working out and this, that, and the other, then you run the risk of, if something happens, it's on your dime. And that's just the reality of it. And you know, players were upset. And even Pat Mahomes was on social media saying, quote, according to the media coverage, several players have expressed surprise that Mr. James' injury is not covered by his injury guarantee, although this point has been made frequently in our discussions with the NFLPA about the offseason program. Clubs are encouraged to remind players of the significant injury-related protection provided if they choose to work out at the club facility and the risk they undertake in choosing to train in non-NFL locations. So even Pat Mahomes understands what it's all about, and they tell these guys that. So, look, I'm 100% for, you know what? Let's run a rookie camp. We'll run training camp. And other than that, you work out on your own or you get group get-togethers. But understand the risks. Everything in life comes with a certain risk factor to it. And by the way, everything in life comes along with what are called unintended consequences. And unfortunately, this is one of those unintended consequences. Now, in the next CBA, will there be some language changes? Maybe. Maybe. Maybe there will be. Maybe there won't be. I don't know. But certainly I can tell you this. DeMaurice Smith, this is another one of those things that he's going to have to figure out, you know, because the NFL teams were like, okay, we're fine. You know, what didn't we say? All the coaches are going to go, oh, yeah, this is great. Yeah, no, we're all in favor of blah, 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 blah. Okay. But you can't have it of, well, Yeah, he got hurt, but you should still pay me. No. No, we're not going to do it that way. So, again, we'll see what happens, and it'll be interesting in the next CBA, but this is another one of those things where you start saying to yourself, okay, what's the unintended consequences? I'm four guys not having to show up and, you know, not having to, you know, do things at the facility if they, you know, can take care of business on their own, but you also assume the risk that goes along with it. And again, that's those situations where you have to have the risk reward. Has to be something that both sides have skin in the game for all of it. All right, when we get back from the top of the hour, we'll get to our Falcons flyover. A couple of the positional coaches had a chance to speak to the media today, what they had to say, plus another former Falcon signs with a team. All next, Chuck Reed hanging out at the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 910 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.